Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey, Kevin, Colby, and Reggie all in studio this evening. Do you think the Cowboys season is over if they lose to the Jets? 877-881-1053. Text in right now to be part of this conversation. On the flip side of that, if they win this, does it change your mind about what this team is? Because I feel like week to week, as a Cowboys fan, because there are so few games, every week you have a new feeling. You can justify something based on a win or based on a loss. And I think a lot of Cowboys fans will go, okay, we're back to our winning ways if they beat the Jets this week. And that's despite an understanding that the Jets aren't a great football team. But do you think that it'll change your mind if they lose this season?
Nope. If they lose against the Jets, is it going to change your mind?
Oh, I thought he was going to say if they win. No, yeah. If they lose, the season's over, at least as the team is currently constructed. You just lost to, you know, the third or fourth worst team in the league. I know the Bengals are like, hold on, we're probably the third worst team. So maybe the fourth worst team in the league. And if you lose that game and you've lost three straight, I think that your season is over. I really do. On the flip side, if they win, means nothing in terms of like people's opinions of this team. It just means that the season gets to keep on trucking, because it's kind of like those Mavericks teams when you got into the late 2000s where you were like, yeah, regular season, don't care what happens in the playoffs. I feel the exact same way. Like, you need to win here, just my opinion, to continue the season to matter. But you need to win against Philly to change the narrative about what you are. And then it all goes back to, if you lose to the craptacular Jets, I think that this season is absolutely cooked, because then you have Eagles, Giants, Vikings, Lions, Patriots, Bills, Bears, Rams, Eagles, all losable games. Like, not that you would lose all those games, right, but like you could. And then you'll beat the Redskins, because, again, Redskins are one of the worst two teams. How worse? Well, I'll find out this weekend. I'll let you know.
Kevin's in love with that game.
Yes, he is.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, if you lose against the Jets, you come out of that as a fan, or just however you believe that yeah, this thing is done. It's cooked. I don't know if it matters in the grand scheme of thing, except for now you're 3-3. You'd still have, if you lose to the Jets and then beat Philly after that, the season's then not over. I don't think. Because now you're still undefeated in your division in a season. So is it completely over if you lose to the Jets? No. Well, I think it's over if you lose to the Jets the way I would feel after that? Yes.
Maybe that's the way to look at it. Because you're right. If you do win that game against the Eagles, you are in first place. And you now hold the tiebreaker over every single team. My thought would just be, I'll just wait until every other good team you have to play, you know? But that is the interesting nature about the NFL. 2 weeks ago, nobody could have told me that the Cowboys weren't a top four team in the NFL. But we always talk about this. The NFL changes very, very quickly. And to that point, what if the Cowboys win the next two games and all of a sudden they're 5-2, you know, they'll probably have one of the best three records in the NFC, mm-hmm, and they'll have a stranglehold around the NFC East. And that's why you have to win this game. And I think this team is presently constructed. If they lose, I think the season is over.
You get to that point, like you said, and you end up being 5-2 instead of sitting at 3-2 in 2 weeks. Then yes, everybody that came out of the woodworks when they were so excited because the Cowboys had lost two games and they just set social media on fire, like, oh, yeah, where's all the Cowboy fans now? And where's all the Dak lovers now? No, we're back. We get to they'll get to shut up again.
And I think, like, by no means do I think the Cowboys are going to lose, which probably feeds into my feeling about this. Like, I think there is almost 0% chance. I'd put it at like 2% chance that the Cowboys lose this game, which I think is why I put it in the category of the season is over, because I would find this to be such a stunning and disappointing upset that my hope meter would plummet.
Kevin, you know, I'm not typically the kind of person who overreacts to things.
Sure.
I'm very even keel most of the time. Like the other night when we were watching the Mavs game and Kristaps and Luka came out and they were on fire together, I was like, let's wait and see. Let's temper our expectations about this team. I was not saying we're never going to lose again. But I will be a little concerned, but I'm also, I will say, hey, let's reassess what this team is. Now, when you say the way it's currently constructed, I'm interested. Does that mean, and this is all, there's a lot of hypothetical in all this because we don't know what's going to happen Sunday, but we got to think about it. And if something happens, what changes can they make other than firing a coach? And is that enough? Is that enough to get a team motivated? Is realizing that their coach could be gone enough to put them at another level with this thing?
I don't think realizing your coach could be gone puts you at another level, because we're there now and it hasn't gotten them to that next level yet. But firing your coach, I would be curious about that. The other thing that...
I don't know. Would that change this season, though?
I think it could.
Because you said the season's over. And if you fire your coach...
As it's currently constructed... You change the coach, you change the construction of this. I would assume, though who the hell knows sometimes with this franchise, I would assume you would put Rashard at the helm as the interim coach and see what happens. Well, now you're changing the construction because you're changing the conductor of this whole thing. The other thing that is plausible, and we can debate like the merits of either, is making an Amari trade but for the defense. So it would have to be a big splash, because you can look back to last year at 3-5. It looked like the Cowboys were done and they were finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then you brought in Amari and that really changed everything. And so potentially you could do the same thing here. With all due respect to our buddy from the New York Post, like if you made that move for Jamal Adams or you made that move for whoever your defensive quick fix is, and then...
Is that the shot in the arm that the team would need?
That is the same theoretical changing of the construction, because that's exactly what happened with Amari, and you'd have the opportunity to do it all over again. Do you want to give up a first-round pick? Well, of course not. But in this desperate situation, that's what I would do.
The fact that Jerry and Steven were introspective enough last year to take a look at what they were doing... and what they were doing wrong, and said, we have to make a move. Like, I'm not sure that last year they went into it going, I don't know that this receiver by committee thing's going to work. I think they believed it would. And then they were proven wrong, and they said, we can't give this season up, right? Like, that's what it looked like. So the fact that they did that last year does lead me to believe that they won't give up on this season either, and that they will be introspective enough to look at what they're doing this year and what's wrong. And that's why I think that at some point they're going to explore any of those options before the trade deadline. That's why we were talking about it yesterday.
And it really, like, it's not even just about the Cowboys. I just want to hammer home how terrible the Jets are. Like, I understand that they got their quarterback back, and it is a quarterback I love. As a rookie, though, as he works through his growing pains, they were 4-12.
Mm-hmm.
This year, there is no team who has a worse record than the Jets, except for the teams that have played more games. And I think that might only be the Redskins and the Bengals. But that's only because they've played more games. Like, the Jets are one of only four winless teams. And the only two teams that have worse point differentials this year are the Dolphins and the Redskins. Well, the Redskins have played one more game than they have, and the Dolphins might be the worst team of all time. So you're talking about a definitive bottom four team in the NFL. So as much as like it speaks to the Cowboys, it overwhelmingly speaks to my lack of just belief in the Jets. The Jets are terrible. You know, and if you lose this game, that's terrible.
All right. So one of their good things that they've had this while Sam Darnold's been out, because their offense has just been atrocious. One of the good things they've had has been their defense. Do you know how many teams have less sacks than them?
No.
Us?
No.
Oh.
Cowboys actually have more.
Let's go.
There are three teams tied with 5 sacks. The Jets have 6. The Jets have also, on the other side, given up the most sacks at 23. So, Kevin, that, when you're talking about that, they are one of the worst at getting to the quarterback and one of the worst and the worst at protecting their own quarterback. So this is one of those games where Dak should have all the time in the pocket. They can cover, but he should have all the time he wants in the pocket. And he should, and the defense should have plenty of opportunities to force turnovers. So that's one of those times. This is a game where you get to say, okay, are we this? Can you do this against the crummiest at what these two things are? And that's one of the things that I'm hoping, because I don't think the season's going to be over if you lose to them. It's a bad thing. It's a bad look for sure. But on the flip side of that, you should be able to say, if you don't get enough sacks or if you get sacked too many times in this game, we got a problem. We got a real problem that we need to correct.
We've got a lot of real positive folks here on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text that have all come up with different things that would come about if you ended up losing to the Jets, and one actually mentioning losing to the Eagles after that. From the 214, guys, we could start 3-5 again, and we are one Carson Wentz injury from a guaranteed playoff spot. Okay. Then we get this from the 817, then maybe we should lose to the Jets to get the Joneses to fix our run defense.
Wow. You know what's sad? I pretty much just assume that sentence ended with, so we can fire Garrett.
No, that's the 214.
Okay, and I have no doubt there are plenty of those, but I really did. I'm like surprised to hear that opinion. So we can fix our run defense. That's fine. That's reasonable. I just assumed it would be, so we can fire Jason Garrett, because so many of these things usually end with, so we can fire Garrett, or because we need to fire Garrett, et cetera, et cetera.
No, they would like the run defense fixed.
Mm-hmm,
so they just, you know, hey, let's go ahead and lose, and so that we can go get, I guess, Sue.
From the 214, the season's not over, silly. They called you silly. From the 430, it won't be over. Not until Philly. But things will change. So they think that you got to see them against Philly. Because you know what? You're right. What if Garrett goes 6-0 in the division? And then you're sitting really pretty at 6-0 with just enough wins to get into the playoffs. That could be a very beneficial moment. They lose this week, the season's done, from the 817. But if they need to beat the Eagles to change our mind, or if they do, they'll need to beat the Eagles to change our mind. That's interesting.
And that's to the other part of your question. I believe in that 100%. Like, there is no score that could happen this Sunday. By the way, 3:25 kickoff, 12:30 pregame right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, that could make me change my opinion about what this team is. They could win 84-0, and it wouldn't matter. It really wouldn't.
My next question to you, Kevin,
touchdowns,
was going to be, and this is the reason why I think I've spent too much time with you guys.
Were you
going
to ask if they won 84-0?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Let's go.
Earlier today, my son threw a ball at me, and I wasn't looking, and I caught it.
What?
It's kind of the same thing that just happened here. Okay. You know?
I
wasn't looking.
This is why you get put out.
It was thrown from behind me over my shoulder, and I just held my hand out, and it caught it. That was awesome.
We have to have our sidebars. This is why.
Oh, okay. All
right. So, yeah, even if the Cowboys win 84-0, you will look at a Giants team that you beat, garbage. Redskins, garbage. Dolphins, garbage. Jets, garbage. And so I don't think that would change anyone's opinion till the Eagles. So for the people who are like, I don't think the season is over if you lose to the Jets, fair enough. But then I would also strongly argue that the season hasn't truly restarted unless you can beat the Eagles.
You said something a moment ago, though. You
garbage.
Said even if they beat them really badly. No, before that. But badly, it won't tell us who this team is, what they are.
That's what I think.
And I guess that's the thing. Do we know what they are right now? Because I had an idea of what they were. I had an idea that they were now an offense that was explosive and was going to carry the defense through the season. And then whenever we needed the defense late in the season, they'd have the legs to do it. Because I still don't think our defense is healthy. By the way, Antoine Woods was out there doing some some onside kick return earlier today, which he's not supposed to. It's kind of a joke. So I think he's healthy enough to play this week. But I think that was the idea, was that this offense was now so explosive that they were going to be taken off on everybody. But I don't know if my mind is changing or if they still are that. It's just we didn't know what to do whenever we played good teams.
And that's my concern, because I was kind of looking at this and I had to think about it a little bit more. Do you know how many games the opposing quarterbacks that the Cowboys have faced this year have won? The ones that they beat, zero. They haven't played a quarterback this year and beat that quarterback that's won a game at all this year. Because the Dolphins have no wins.
Yeah, and Eli.
Redskins have no wins. Yeah. Eli has no wins. And the Jets, doesn't matter who their quarterback is, they have no wins. And so that's why I'm saying it won't change my perception. Obviously, I desperately hope and absolutely believe the Cowboys will win this game, and I think they'll win this game emphatically because they need to win this game to keep the season rolling, in my opinion. And some people are like, well, just a couple weeks ago, you thought they could be 6-0, 8-0. Absolutely, and that's why we talk all the time about how quickly the nature of the NFL changes, because think about this one more time.
Comes at you fast.
So you beat the Jets on the road, you beat the Eagles, and then you go on the road and you beat the Giants. Well, all of a sudden, you're 6-2. Once again, stranglehold on the NFC East, and people are once again chatting about you being maybe the best team in the NFC because you probably have the best record or second best record in the NFC, and maybe you're going up against a Vikings team that has had their own little resurgence and they're also looking really good, and this could be like a weird battle for NFC supremacy. But on the flip side, if these next 3 weeks don't go well for either one, that's going to be a game to determine whose team has their coach get fired first. That's how quickly the NFL moves. It takes 1 week to change everything all the time.
Think about this for a second. From the Dolphins game through the Philly game, there are questions about this team. That's a long time for everybody to be like, I'm still not sure about this offense. I'm still not sure about these things. That's a long time for all these questions, even for within that organization, within the team, within the coaches, for them to have these question marks of what are we really? Are we this as an offense? Are we? That's a long time for you to start learning how to doubt yourself. And I think a lot of people are doubting themselves.
3:25 kick, 12:30 p.m. pregame right here on The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Brandi Rhodes, the chief brand officer for AEW. Tickets went on sale. They're coming to the Metroplex. Went on sale today. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Frankel & Frankel. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget kickoff at 3:25 right here on 105.3 The Fan. Pregame starts at 12:30, so be ready for it. But joining us right now is All Elite Wrestling Chief Brand Officer Brandi Rhodes. Brandi, how's everything going today?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Well, I'm doing fantastic now that I was able to buy my tickets for Dynamite. You guys gave us a bit of a scare this morning when it said tickets weren't available right at 11 o'clock, and I thought they sold out in like 30 seconds, and I couldn't get them, and I was really about to be sad.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you were able to get through and get everything sorted.
So what have the last few weeks and the last few months been like for you, your husband, the company in general, leading up to the premiere of y'all's show on TNT?
It's been extremely busy. We haven't had much time to do anything other than prepare and be ready for all things AEW. Today being no different. I got home last night from being in Boston for the last show, and first thing this morning I was on conference calls and phoners, and I've been on them from about 9 a.m. to about 2 p.m. and then 2:30 was in hair and makeup, and then I just finished filming about 15 minutes ago for the day for promos and all of these things that we're filming for the show. So, and now I'm on the phone with you guys. So that's the, and then I'll be at, in the gym. I'm literally sitting in the gym parking lot because that's part of the job too. I'm a pro wrestler, so I have to work out. So I'm going to be in the gym probably till about 10:30, and then I'll call it a day.
Oh, my God. Do you now? Okay. Yeah. I was just about to ask, how long is the workout, and what is it? Is it different every day? Is it like what's your typical workout routine like then?
My workouts vary, but I kind of stick to the same program. I have like a plan that's designated for me. That's for every day of the week. Something a little bit different, but most of my stuff is full body and some degree of cardio because that's so important for in the ring. But I like my workouts a lot. So I usually look forward to getting in the gym. It's not like a dreaded gym visit.
Okay. So I was going to say you should talk with us for a really long time because that could just delay the gym time. But if you don't fear the gym, then you're probably fine.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting in there today.
Now, not that everything y'all worked for was going to be defined by 1 week or 2 weeks or anything like that, but given how much work y'all have put in, how satisfying is it to see that AEW Dynamite has defeated NXT in the first 2 weeks of the head-to-head competition?
Well, more so satisfying than that is just seeing that we have the fan base that we said we did. You know, we've all of us, to some extent, myself, Cody, Matt, and Nick, the Young Bucks, we've all kind of cultivated these very dedicated fan bases, and you can tell people all day long how great your fan bases are and how vast they are, but until they tune into the show, you really just don't know. So that's been the most validating part, is having the fans show up, and getting the feedback from the fans has been so fantastic because, you know, we're very open to hearing from our fans and wanting to know what they think. And the feedback has just been really, really great. So that's been extremely gratifying.
Well, we got Brandi Rhodes from All Elite Wrestling joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece. And Kevin, one of the things that I remember our boss telling us is you guys are young. I want energy when y'all hit the radio. I don't want a slow brand of radio. And what you guys have at AEW, I haven't watched it. It's moving. It's fast. It's a fast pace of wrestling. Is that something that y'all are trying to push? That you like that style of fast action?
Well, I think there are a lot of different styles of wrestling, and AEW is kind of just like a buffet of different wrestling styles. You've got a lot of really fast paced action, but then you've got a lot of, you know, traditional storytelling in there too. In our women's division, we've got, you know, the Joshi style of wrestling, which people are not so used to in the United States. And then you've got, you know, a lot of more classic women's storytelling type of things going on. So I think it's just proving that there's a lot of different ways to present wrestling. And no one way is better than or more right than another, but it's nice to present just a variety.
Now, since you were bringing up the women's division, both in front of the camera and it sounds like behind the camera, you're a big part of the women's division. How important is it to you to grow the division, and what does it mean to the overall success of your organization?
Well, you know, we've been watching women's wrestling in general grow quite a bit over the past few years, and it's really made great strides. And in doing that, you know, you've seen a lot of good things happen, a lot of things, you know, tried that maybe didn't work so well. So we're kind of in a really great spot in that we've been able to see a lot of this develop before giving our take on it. So I think one of the things we've learned is, you know, take your time no matter what. I know a lot of fans, they want everything. They want it all. They want it all now. But then what happens when you get it all and you get it all right now? Well, there's nowhere else to go. So we're just building the division. We're working on getting a lot of these newer female talent names out there. Our current champion is fairly unknown in the American realm, so that's been exciting to introduce her to this audience and see them start to cultivate a relationship with her. And we've got a lot of fantastic talent that just needs this time right now to establish themselves and really give the audience a chance to get to know them.
We got Brandi Rhodes from AEW, Chief Brand Officer for All Elite Wrestling, joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece. And I know, Kevin, you loved GLOW, and I know there are a lot of people that loved that
Netflix
that show.
Yeah.
The Netflix show. And that was, and, you know, the idea of what women's wrestling is. And I just want you to kind of explain, give me a real idea of what it's like to be a woman in wrestling, something that's been, you know, kind of maybe even stubborn with ideas of how things are done and how people are perceived in this sport.
I mean, GLOW is an interesting show to bring up because one of the reasons that I like the show so much is you kind of take the ride with these various characters on what it is like to, first of all, start wrestling. If you're at some point, you got to start. And we saw in the first episode, these girls, you know, take their first roles and their first bumps. And it kind of was cool to see because it's reminiscent of some of the things that I remember thinking and feeling as I got started in this industry. But there's nothing like being kind of at the forefront of something like this, because as much as, you know, we like to think that the world is so progressive and everybody is so, my favorite word on Twitter is woke. Everybody loves to talk about how woke they are, or too woke, or not woke enough, and all of that. But the fact of the matter is the fact that we're still talking about it means that there's progress yet to be made. The day when we don't talk about it at all, then that means we've caught up and that everything's all good and jolly. But, you know, we're still chatting about it. It's still interesting to people that we've got, you know, one of the top refs in wrestling, Aubrey, and that she's a female. The day that people don't think about it like that, that she's just one of the top refs and we don't have to, you know, clarify it by her gender, that's the day that we're at where I want to see us at.
Do you feel like that every female wrestler has to validate themselves when they step into the ring then?
Or do the wrestlers think that?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like in the earlier stages of this kind of women's movement, it was a very prove-yourself time where women were given more time and more freedom. And I think they were given that as a means to show them that they couldn't do it.
Right.
But those particular women rose to the occasion and did such a great job with it that they became undeniable. So I think at this point in the game, we've proven that we have worth and we have a lot of value. And now it's just, you know, continuing that, continuing onward and upward and making sure, you know, it makes sense. I think one thing that women's wrestling struggles with a lot is sometimes things just don't make sense. so that's kind of the challenge for me. I know a lot of times I want to, of course, improve in the ring and get better. But more than anything, I want everything that I do to have meaning.
Now, we had Cody in studio a couple of years ago. And back then, I think you guys were in Texas. Are y'all still living in Texas or not so much?
Not in Texas anymore. No. We finally sold our piece of property out there, and we're no longer in the Texas area, unfortunately, because I actually really enjoyed living in, we lived in the North Denton area, and it was a really unique spot we had and kind of cool, but unfortunately, nothing we do is in Texas anymore, so there was no reason to keep it.
Well, except for Dynamite on December 11th, AEWTix.com. Well, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring that up is because obviously we got the state fair going right now. Texas OU is tomorrow. Were you and Cody, were y'all state fair people, or did you ever make your way out there?
Never went to the state fair, Cody follows. Yeah, no, we never did. But he follows Texas, so he'll be watching the game tomorrow for sure. We had talked today about whether or not he should place a bet with Jim Ross over the game because, you know, he's a Sooners guy.
He should
not.
Said no.
No. Yeah, I had said no. So I think we've decided on that. But yeah, tomorrow's a football Saturday, so he'll be all over it.
Now, while he is watching Texas OU, will you watch with him or will you veer away to watch the Illinois game? Because I do believe you're a big Michigan football fan, yes?
I'm a Michigan grad, so, you know, kind of by default, yeah, I'm a
sure.
Michigan football fan. But when I don't watch the games, they win. When I do fully invest and watch the games, they lose. So I will probably keep score, but not actually watch.
Because that's how it works. All fans know, right? If you turn off the TV or leave the room, you can change the outcome of the game, right?
100%. I'm the worst karma ever for Michigan. The worst. And actually, I forget what game we were watching last week. We were watching Michigan State and Ohio State.
Okay.
And in that case, both teams, not for me, but I'd rather Michigan State beat Ohio State than not. So we were watching, and in just like the first couple minutes, Ohio State obviously dominated that game, and I was just like, yep, I'm turning this off.
There you go. Well, at least you know your powers, the superpowers that you have.
Powers are not for the good. They're not for the good, guys.
Like so many powers in the world, sure.
I'm a big jinx, too, so everybody blames me for a lot of stuff. What's your favorite weapon?
Weapon?
Yeah, in the ring. What's your favorite?
I was very concerned by that question as well.
Are you a fan of the chair? Like, what's your favorite go-to?
Oh man, you know I am not a big weapons person. I say that in that I have been known to do a lot of shady things, but I'm just not really big into weapons. I feel like a lot of times the weapons backfire on me and end up hurting me instead, so I pretty much stay away from them. But I've never used a kendo stick, and I kind of really want to.
Ooh, might be the same theory as college football, though. Once you get involved with that, it's destined to fail. So
yeah, I can see that. I can see that working against me
now,
pretty quickly. So
we're talking with Brandi Rhodes, and another thing that I wanted to ask you, I know some things have been happening really rapidly, not just the last few months, but the last few years. What is it like at the same time of y'all building up this company to see your husband? It seems as though he is on the cusp of becoming one of the next, like, gigantic breakout stars in wrestling. I know he's already a big star, but I mean in terms of, like, reaching past just wrestling fans. He'll be main eventing y'all's next pay-per-view. What has it been like to see that evolution from a guy who, regardless of what he tried or suggested, it seemed like they had him slotted in WWE?
Yeah, you know, Cody's an extremely hard worker. I honestly don't know anyone else in the wrestling business who works as hard as Cody does, as far as in the ring, out of the ring. His position as an EVP has showcased him, like, through the roof, supposed to have this job because he's so fantastic at it. So it really doesn't surprise me. I think it surprised me more that he ever had any struggle with it, because he's just such a natural talent and, it naturally connects really well with the fans. And I feel like that's what you really need in a top competitor. So now I think I'm less surprised by it. I feel like this is what I had always expected from him all along.
The show is Wednesday Night Dynamite. You can catch it every Wednesday, 7 Central on TNT. It's going to be here in the Metroplex. December 11th, you can go to AEWTix.com. Tickets went on sale today. And by the way, I just want to say thank you. I actually live in Garland. So the fact that y'all are coming to Garland is the greatest news I've heard in some time.
So basically, you're telling me that you're the mayor of Garland.
Yes.
And that you're going to mandate that everybody in Garland come to the show.
Pretty much, and I already took the day off to make sure I could facilitate that. So we will have people hanging from the rafters. We'll have the fire marshal there. We'll take care of all of it.
Oh, that sounds like a good time. Whenever the fire marshal shows up, it's a good show.
Man, we all remember college, right? Thank you so much, Brandi, for the time. Excellent stuff.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Good luck at the gym. That is Brandi Rhodes, Chief Brand Officer. for the AEW and answerer of weird Corey questions.
I just wanted, they use.
Do you like weapons?
But there was no setup. They use weapons in wrestling,
but
right?
But you didn't say when it comes to wrestling.
I was talking to a professional wrestler.
How about, what's your favorite foreign object?
Okay, is that what the
That's a trap.
Oh man, that feels like to use Brandy's terminology would get you on Twitter for not being woke enough. Like that definitely feels like that would get you in trouble. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, Tolos, if you're going to go to that show, hit me up. I will be there. Coming up next, though, it's time for the Moral Compass. Based off the Nats closer, we're curious. Would you skip the World Series, Super Bowl, whatever it was, for the birth of your child? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Dallas Truck World. Dallas Truck World just got in a G-Wagon, Range Rover, and a Porsche 911. So check out that and all the rest of the inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Back on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. This is a segment that we haven't done in quite some time, but yeah. I always love it because it puts you in a situation where you have to think, what would I do? And go ahead and hit the music, Reginald!
You're my counsel. The one I turn to when I need my moral compass checked. We have forged this relationship for years, and I depend on it.
The Nationals are going to be without their closer, Daniel Hudson, for the first game of the NLCS. Is that going on right now?
Yes.
Score?
There probably is.
Okay. Sorry, I don't have the my score up at the moment.
That's true.
That is fair.
And he is out due to paternity leave. He's expected to be out for 3 days. And he is one of their key relievers. He was traded to Washington from the Blue Jays. He allowed 18 hits and 4 earned runs in 25 innings. That's awesome.
It's 1-0 Nats right now.
He has a 3-0 record with 6 saves and a 1.44 ERA.
That'll work.
And he has been awesome. And you said it's 1-0 right now?
In favor of the Nationals, yes.
So if it comes down, if it's 1-0 in the ninth inning, they are without him. But he said, I am not missing the birth of my child. 877-881-1053. Would you miss the birth of your child for this series?
Well, I know you would. You're ready to miss the birth of one of your kids for a show.
Yes, there was a time when we had to fill in. We'd only been here. We got here in May.
6 months.
We got here in May.
7 months.
And it was Christmas.
Yep.
And the former afternoon show took off. And they asked if we could fill in for 2 straight weeks. And I was like, holy hell. We're a dumb weekend show that gets the opportunity to fill in for afternoon drive for 2 straight weeks. This is an opportunity to really show off what we got. And the first week, we're rolling along. On that Friday, Adrian calls me while we're in the middle of the show. And she says, hey, we have to do a C-section next Friday. And I was like, oh, all right. I'll talk to you when we get home. Got done with the show, went home, told her, hey, here's my plan. I got a grand scheme.
How confident were you that this was going to work?
Well, hold on. I was super confident.
Okay.
Because I told her. I said, you're going to have the C-section around 11, right after the baby's out. You know, I'll hang around. I'll head over to the station, do the show until 7, come back, and I'll be with you for the weekend.
Oh, my God. that.
Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and smiled and gave me a kiss and said, that sounds like a great idea, Corey. Go ahead and do that. And I was like, that's awesome. I have such a kick-ass woman.
Uh-huh. Tricks.
And so I...
What'd you call her?
Nah.
And so I told Kevin, come and on. Kevin just kind of nodded his head at me because I don't know if you really, like, if you were at the point where your emotions understood either, you know, because we've had to work on your,
sure.
your growth.
I was so still just booting like, up is... that program yeah. at the time.
And so, but then I went to talk to the bosses. Because I think Kevin was like, you should tell the bosses about this too. And I was like, all right. So I went and told our program director and Tim Collins. And our program director at the time looked at me and said, you're going to end up getting divorced. So you're going to miss the show. And I was like, no, but she said it's cool. And he was like, she lied to you.
Uh-huh.
She is lying. And I was like, no, no, she's fine with it. And I said, all right. So I said, okay, well, I'll let her know I'm missing the show. When I got home that night, I said, Adrian, boss won't let me do it. I wanted to prove what we had. Hey, we're a team. We're doing this together. We're awesome. We're a great show. And she said, I'm glad you finally came to your senses, idiot. And I was like, oh, wow, no. And she was like, there's no way you were going to work that show. I was like, all right. So yes, Kevin, I was willing to do it for a show, but I am now glad that I made it to the birth of my middle child.
So surely...
He's the second one.
If the Super Bowl comes along, you would miss the birth of another child, which would now be four, to play in the Super Bowl.
We're not having another child.
Okay. But just hypothetically...
Yes, hypothetically.
Because also, you could go ahead and probably say you're not playing in a Super Bowl.
Right.
Does it matter how much you play?
I don't know. Can you kick?
Yeah. Could come down to it.
Yeah, uh-huh. I can kick.
We can get you a contract.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to kick straight, but I can
oh,
kick.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah,
you can still
I should have asked more questions.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. How much are you playing? Because this is a dude that may not even play the game. He might not ever make it into the game. If they're up 7-0, not even there. I wasted my time tonight. Could have been with my kid. Or they could lose without him. I mean, it is a really, he has a very important role, but I guess they're thinking to themselves, you know, look, we got a good team of guys. That's why we have a whole roster.
Next man up.
Here's the thing. Depending on, okay, so he's taking 3 days off for the birth of the child. Taking a day off or just making sure you're there when the child is brought into the world, good for you. Really good for you. After that, the dad's not needed anymore.
No, you can't do anything.
Really, there is nothing else that you can do to help out with anything. The nurses are there for her, and you're there to do what? Exactly. Not nothing.
Give her water.
Yeah.
But the nurse is there.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the way I thought about it.
Well, I mean, for the guy in the World Series, if you're going to be there for the birth of the child, yes, be there. If that's your mindset, that you just cannot miss that, good for you. Be there. But as soon as the baby's out and you see everything's okay,
it's a boy, yay!
Then you go ahead and make that click-clack sound because you're already in your cleats running to your car to make it to the game.
From the...
I click-clacked.
I'm surprised some people wouldn't go this route, maybe. From the 214, I would miss the game but hold it over the kid. So whenever I'm mad, I would have been said, I passed on pitching in that game for you. So the discussion that I had with my person was, how much do you play? Because she was like, because if you're just on the bench, then you better be there. But if you're important, then you can go play in the game.
Your starter... If you're supposed to schedule to be the starting pitcher in that game.
Or if you're the closer. She said if I was the closer, that would be acceptable as well.
You're the starting first baseman.
Ooh, I can see that.
Shouldn't, like, your mind state come into effect? Because, I mean, if you're going to be at the game, but you're going to be thinking about your wife for a lot of the game, what does that factor in to your decision?
I think you're underestimating my ability to shut down all other things outside of me. And once I make a decision, I'm like, this is what we're doing.
Sometimes it launches you into super focus, too. You know, when you have something else that you're thinking about throughout a game that you're just relying on muscle memory to do what you're doing. I know it sounds offset, but sometimes
well, no.
Not thinking about the game keeps the pressure off.
I don't think that sounds offset because now you're not thinking about anything else going into any pitch.
Yeah.
And clearing your mind is one way to focus. Well, not even thinking about what you're doing. You can do go out there and do something amazing.
Clear the
mind.
Because
now there's no stress on what you're doing while you're out there.
Absolutely.
There's no stress. Stress is elsewhere. Right here, this is just me doing what I've been doing this whole time. So, yeah, no. He could go out there and you know, pitch three innings of no-hit ball and just walk out just because he there's a child being born. I don't care about you better.
From the 817.
Do what you do.
From the 817, you can literally have another kid and be there for that. From the 830.
Who knows if you'll ever make it back to the World Series.
From the 830. It's 2019. You can schedule these things now.
Yeah, but like some people don't roll like that. Like I was actually just interacting with somebody today who they're having a baby and she's having a baby in like 2 months and they just don't want to know the sex of the baby. So like some people don't take advantage of
all
the
water. We did that with Avery.
Oh, yeah?
We didn't find out. We found out with Avery, didn't find out with Carter.
Okay.
And I think we didn't find out with Lucy either until she arrived.
What was, like, I'm just curious, why do you think that is?
What?
That you didn't want to know?
No, that was just our decision.
Okay.
We said, all right, we'll just pick two names for the kid, and whichever side it is, we'll figure it out whenever we get there.
Did you carry over the names to the next kid and say this time?
No, I didn't. Okay. Each one of them were individual thoughts.
Okay. Like hurricane season.
Yeah. from the 254, sports stadiums have medical rooms. All sports babies should be born at the venue.
What are you talking about?
I agree.
Yes.
We were having this conversation off air.
I love that idea.
Those are not equipped for childbirth. Like, there's a reason why children aren't just born in any clinic. Like, they have specific...
I mean, they can be.
You bring... Yeah, dude, listen.
They're not even, like, they don't even birth children in every room room in a hospital. Like, they have a specific childbirthing ward for these things because it requires something else.
Lucy is going through IVIG, the same medical treatment that Travis Frederick had. They can do it at our house. Like, the insurance is screwing everything up. But they can literally, they come to your home and just say, all right, here you go, bam.
That's not childbirth.
It's called mobile medical. They can do it anywhere.
It's not childbirth.
You can do
you think
anywhere.
Of how many times childbirthing has happened since, I don't know, the beginning of time that we haven't figured out a way to make it mobile?
In elevators. Remember that documentary, Men in Black? There was a baby born in the back of that car.
Right. It was an alien baby.
Yeah. Was that a documentary?
About it? Yeah, about the...
Yeah, man.
The true life of aliens.
Oh, Kevin watched till the very end credits where they mind erased.
Yeah, you got mind erased.
So therefore he doesn't remember.
Oh, no, I don't even remember that.
Yep, that's...
Point exactly.
Whoa.
Point.
Do you think this has already happened to me? And I had a kid when I was playing in the Super Bowl.
Don't worry about this. Just look into this pen real quick.
Oh,
from the 254. Take her into that blue tent.
Man, they do everything in that blue tent, right?
Checking on a concussion, something like that. Oh my God, what is that?
It's a baby.
Oh yes, that was probably better than what I was gonna say. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where we have a horrifying stat about CTE plus mustaches. Next, right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.